Welcome to the Uncommon Career Podcast, where you get clear direction, a persuasive brand, and a competitive strategy that moves you forward. My name is Patricia Ortega, and I'm your host and career coach. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Listen, are you an introvert who's trying to figure out how in the world to be competitive in a world full of extroverts? Well, today we're talking to Juliana Jorgen. Juliana is a professional coach for introverts who are ready to thrive in an extrovert's workplace, all without being more extroverted. As a former manager and director at one of Canada's largest PNC insurers, and as an introvert herself, she knows how hard it is to land the right role. Today, she's going to be sharing her insight on ways that introverts can win in the career search. Juliana, thank you so much for being here. Welcome.
Thanks, Patricia. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, because I know you've got a story and we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started in corporate after a lot of studying and started pretty much at the bottom. My first job was in data entry. And at the time, I was really wanting to work at BlackBerry, but they didn't really need data entry people. So I had to figure out kind of what kind of skill set they were looking for that I could bring to the table, and eventually did work my way into a business analyst role that eventually could take me to BlackBerry. That one was really interesting because at the same time, I was doing a lot of networking, both professionally and personally, and did get a recommendation into the company, which was awesome. Really helped me get my foot in the door there. As many of you know, there were some significant changes at BlackBerry. So unfortunately, I was among the people who were let go. Very, very difficult time, especially seeing all of my friends and colleagues leave the company. Just a really rough time. And I'm seeing that right now too, with a lot of other companies where they've overhired and are now kind of restructuring, and a lot of people out there in the job market. So I feel for all of you. I've been there. Really tough time. After leaving BlackBerry though, I was trying to figure out what to do about my next role. I was fairly determined to get a promotion and a raise, even though I had been let go. I think most people thought I was pretty crazy for aiming that high, but I was on track at BlackBerry for a promotion and a raise based on my experience anyway. So decided to go after that and did. That took me to a few other jobs, and my last role up until about maybe a year ago was doing really amazing, but I was very burnt out as a director, and my husband got an opportunity that would take us from Vancouver to Madrid. And because I was so burnt out and not really sure what I wanted to do, ended up deciding, you know what, let's do it. I'm going to leave my corporate career after 20 years and see what's there for me in Madrid.
That's exciting.
And yeah, very exciting, big changes. And that's kind of where I decided, you know, with all the changes, maybe I don't need to go back into corporate right away. Kind of asked myself what I love to do. And really the thing that brought me the most joy throughout my entire career was helping other people in their careers. Mm. So now I'm doing that as my job.
Very cool. And tell us a little bit about your company and what you do.
Yeah, so my company is really focused on coaching just for introverts. When I was trying to figure out where I wanted to focus, the people who I wanted to help, I feel like introverts are the most underserved. Being an introvert myself, I've been on the receiving end of a lot of, we'll say, coaching and suggestions that just didn't really feel right. A lot of the coaching out there for introverts is on how to be more extroverted, which maybe we don't want to be more extroverted. There are a lot of ways to be successful in our careers while staying true to ourselves, whether that be introversion or whatever else it is about ourselves that makes us unique. So I really wanted to help other introverts like myself be successful in their careers without having to do all those uncomfortable things that just don't feel right.
Well, I love that concept of being able to focus in on, on folks that maybe might hop onto LinkedIn or hop onto YouTube or start looking for a coach and realize, I don't know if anyone's really calling out to me, and that's kind of one of the areas that I really, kind of, if that's an area that I feel like I relate to you. And I think, gosh, everyone's just telling me, just go out there and just talk to people. They're like, that's like putting a square peg in a round hole. So for you, what are some signs that introversion is costing us career success?
Yeah, I think like anything else, when you're out of alignment, you're not really putting your full self into your work, especially for introverts. If we're putting all of our energy into being more extroverted, we're then not spending that energy doing the actual work, right? Not that you're not doing the work, but the quality of the work, how you show up to do that work, isn't as powerful as if you were doing it as your natural introverted self. And it's really hard out there because there's so much that introverts get told that they need to be a certain way, right? Mm-hmm. That there's only one way to be successful in corporate or in whatever career you have. And it's built on this archetype of the extrovert, right? It's this dream of being the Jerry Maguire sales guy instead of, a more thoughtful, reflective person who can connect with people on a deeper level and really bring out a different element of a work relationship or how work can get done.
I really like how you brought up not just some of the signs that introversion is costing us career success, but also the value, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not from a perspective of, if you are more of an introvert, then you're at a deficit, so let me help you. Like, it's very, right. As an introvert myself, I'm like, there are some very strong strengths, right? So what are those strengths that we can leverage if we are introverts? I'm curious, like, kind of what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I think a lot of it does depend on the work you do. Like, if I think of a lot of leaders, they're expected to be talking all the time, pumping up the team and really leading from a loud position, I'd almost say, right? Where an introverted leader brings a very different quality to the team and the way they lead their team because they are more on the receiving side. They're more likely to go out to their team and get their opinions before making a decision because they value that input. And because they don't need to be the person who's always talking.
That's true.
Right? Or I find introverted leaders are more approachable because we don't demand the floor, because we're not always the one who needs to be speaking. Where you don't necessarily get that with an extroverted leader. Yes, of course they care about their team. Of course they want to hear from their team, but the energy and the dynamic and what comes naturally to them is very different, right? Or they may question, why isn't my team speaking up? Well, sometimes that space needs to be there a little bit more open for an introvert to be able to feel comfortable stepping into that space to speak up, where I think an introverted leader is comfortable in that silence. So they'll kind of let that hang for long enough for the introverts on their team to be like, okay, I'm ready now. I can save the thing that I want to contribute now.
Oh gosh, that was great. So if I'm going to kind of summarize some of these golden nuggets that you just shared with us, and some ideas that you're spurring on too, it sounds like, if you feel like, hey, I'm a little bit more on the introverted side, I'm not as, I don't want to say in your face because that's not true. I know extroverted people who are very, very kind. And so let me kind of back up a little bit. We are making some really widespread generalizations here. Yes. So every single person is so different. Just like when you take a personality test, there's little sparks of everything in each personality. And so this is very much like a generalization. And if you feel like, hey, I lean more on that introversion camp, then some of the strengths that, Juliana just shared is silence, I mean, when you go into negotiations, you are automatically having a competitive edge because having comfortability in silence is extremely powerful. And so that's one of them. And that happens, you don't just negotiate at, you know, the offer table, you also negotiate in every single meeting, you negotiate in relationships, mm-hmm. you negotiate in, you know, conversations, evaluations, all kinds of scenarios. And that silence is incredibly powerful. The second piece that you brought up was, oh gosh, I lost it because I went on my riff about negotiations. It was silence. Oh, here's the other thing, right? You mentioned, and I love this point you made. You mentioned that as an extroverted leader, you're more likely to have the strength and the ability to kind of almost like rally a group in mm-hmm. large numbers of people. But as someone who has or leans more on the introverted side, you have that one-on-one connection. And your relationships are deeper. And so, you know, I just am learning more and more and more about that really important connection to know someone, like to really feel yes. seen, right? And having that ability to help someone on your team feel seen is going to help them to be themselves completely in the environment and therefore give you more of that discretionary effort that we all want to feel like we can give freely. And so I think that was really important. So silence, knowing someone one-on-one. And then you also talked about creating space for people.
Yes.
Okay. So do you want to share a little bit more about that? Because I think that was a really good point and I just want to make sure we capture it.
Yeah. So creating space for people is, I think, something that not everybody thinks about because especially in corporate where, again, just broad generalizations and expectations,
yeah.
there's sort of an expectation or something in the air, I'll say, that you need to grab, you need to force your way into a conversation, you need to put yourself out there and be present and make sure people know about you. But then there's also the balancing side on the other end where introverts are more likely to create space for other people to step into, which is to me a much more beautiful way to operate in corporate, right? Where you're so comfortable in your own strength and what you bring that you can create space for other people to show up and for other people to be present and contribute and collaborate.
I like that. I kind of feel like it's this ebb and flow, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes, and I used to do a ton of those MBTI interpretations where they show this line and on one yep. side is introvert and the other side is extrovert, right? And I remember every time I did this interpretation, there was always this versus them, right? Almost mm-hmm. like this tug of war, right? Yep. But I think some of what you brought up right now to the surface is the idea that there's a give and take on either yes. side. Right. And in those moments where there might be more space created, that might give opportunity for someone who's maybe more extroverted to express their ideas. But then the introvert strength is, okay, now let's continue to create space so that those who are more introverted also have the opportunity to share something.
Absolutely. And I love what you kind of touched on there about the kind of us versus them. It really isn't about us versus them. I think we kind of talk in those terms because we're trying to understand how we're different, right?
Yeah.
On either end of the introvert extrovert continuum, I'll say. And I mean, nobody's really fully introverted or extroverted all the time for their entire life. It's just the nature of humans, right? Like we're not 100% one thing fully. And the tendencies, I think, help us understand how to interact with each other. But there is a need for us to kind of look at the introvert tendencies and really understand how they can bring us all together a little bit better instead of the message being, hey, introverts, you need to move yourself into the extrovert side of the scale, right? Mm-hmm. That's not the conversation that needs to happen anymore. It's more of, how do we balance each other out? How do we work with each other's strengths to elevate the entire group of people?
Oh, I love that. How do we work together to sort of rise together, right? How do we put this puzzle together of all these different types of personalities so that everybody gets what they need to be able to express, whether it's internally or externally, their ideas? Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
I love this conversation. but I also know you have a lot of really great sort of tips and strategies and ideas, and just you can add a lot to the conversation as far as the more practical side of things, right? So pretend that I am an introvert and I'm like, I get so drained with this whole conversation about networking. I don't want to do any of it. I just want to apply online and get a job that way. How can I network my way in if I'm an introvert?
You totally can do that without stepping into a networking event. And I know because I've done it. Networking has been a big part of how I've gotten a lot of the best jobs in my career, and I've helped other people do the same. I think the trick is to think less about the how to network, like the tips about, oh, just give yourself some time in between talking to people at an event and you'll just magically recharge somehow, like a phone.
You'll be fine. Just go
you'll
and
be
do
fine.
It.
Just go out there and do it. Or you know, go with a networking buddy. That for me as an introvert, that's almost even more draining because the entire time I'm worried about my buddy and how they're doing. So the approach I take with an introvert is trying to figure out specifically what is your goal. So if your goal is, I saw a job online, love the job, really want to get that job, what is it that you need to bridge between you applying for the job and you getting the job? So I'll take an example of someone I worked with recently who was working at a small startup, very underpaid, completely underappreciated and underutilized, and she was just miserable. She knew she had to get out of there, but totally drained all the time, especially with her work situation. And she was in that exact situation. She found a job that she really wanted to apply for. We had made sure that she had targeted just two companies and one type of role at both companies, and the job came up. She applied, and afterwards we're like, okay, what do we need to do to nail this? What do we need to guarantee that you're going to get the job? Your experience is there. All of your skills are transferable. We are confident that your resume is in a place where you'll get the interview, but how do we guarantee that that interview is going to get you the job? So we thought through different options, and what we decided is networking will help her there, because what we wanted to do was get her some insight on the company, what was happening at the company, and the challenges on that team or in that department, so that she could come prepared to talk about how she could help. So she wasn't comfortable with reaching out to the hiring manager, which was understandable. It's very nerve-wracking to do that. So what we tried to do was see how close we could get to the hiring manager or that department. So working through her network, we snaked our way through and figured out who in her network was somebody who could introduce her to somebody at that company. She had the conversation. It went so well that the person she talked to recommended her for that role before the interview even happened. And of course, she got the job.
Right. And this is the beauty of having a targeted brand, but kind of having the message ready to talk about when you are in those networking conversations, then finding your way into those right conversations, asking the right things, right? But a lot of it, I think we overthink a lot and we get into our own head as far as like what this needs to look like, right? But one of the pieces that I think is particularly valuable and a strength of an introvert is that they are able to more quickly make a deeper connection And so when you do contact that one person, you are wholeheartedly focused on them, right? And then that's where that genuine connection and then that fruitful conversation comes out of the genuine connection and not vice versa. Sometimes we think I have to say the right thing in order to then connect with them. And it's like, no, 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 you have to connect with them and the right thing happens.
Exactly. And especially going back to what we were talking about earlier with how we know that the introversion is working against us. The alternative would have been to go talk to everyone she could possibly talk to at that company. Not a good strategy for an introvert, right? Because then she's going to be super drained, not show up as her first full self, not have that deep connection, like you said. And it could be that by the time she got to this one person, she was so drained that she couldn't build the relationship to the point where she could get that recommendation without even asking, right? She didn't even have to ask for anything, but that the connection was so deep and so genuine that the person she talked to was like, I want to work with you. You need to be here with me. And I'm going to make sure that happens.
Yes. And you know what? Oh my gosh, as you're talking, this also makes me think of how, you know, the connection is really what builds the conversation. Yes. And kind of coming in with sort of an idea of what you want to talk about, but also just a curiosity that's so natural to that introversion kind of side of things. So now that we've got this idea of, you know, let's work within our strengths, whether you're an extrovert, an introvert, a thinker, someone on the, you know, high end perceiving, it doesn't matter. Like whatever your personality is, you want to kind of leverage your strengths in that career process. But you have a specific concept that works well, I think, with everybody, but particularly with someone who's more introverted. This concept you mentioned is predecisions, and you really caught my curiosity with it. So talk to me about predecisions.
Yeah, absolutely. So predecisions, I think, goes back a little bit to my story and what I touched on earlier with wanting to get that promotion and raise at BlackBerry or after BlackBerry, I guess. So having been laid off, I knew I would be faced with a lot of really tough decisions. I'd seen a lot of my friends go through the same who had left BlackBerry, where they had to decide, am I going to change careers to take a job? Am I going to take a pay cut or relocate or whatever? Like there were so many things that were coming up for people that, especially as an introvert, I knew that I would need a lot of time to make those decisions and really feel comfortable with those decisions. I knew I didn't want to be making those on the spot on the phone with a recruiter or a hiring manager. So what I did was sat down, and before I even looked at my resume, before I even looked at job boards, I sat down and decided on everything ahead of time. So I had set myself that goal that I wanted a promotion and a raise, looked at how long my severance would last me, and made a decision that until, let's say, a month before that severance ran out, that would still be my goal. And looked at it again and said, okay, well, maybe that's a little bit far-reaching. So pushed that back a little bit and said, okay, a month before my severance runs out, I'll take a pay cut.
Oh, I see.
Right. So at that point, really, I'm not going to have income. I'm not going to be able to sustain myself. So I'll take a pay cut to be able to work. But for right now, I'm still going to want that promotion, that raise. And then about halfway through there, I decided, okay, at the halfway point, I'll maybe take a lateral move, but not, but so sequentially kind of step down from the goal, but pre-decide ahead of time when those things would happen, when I would kind of shift my goal. And then I made all the other decisions I possibly thought I could make. So what industry I wanted to target, if I would take a different type of role, if I would consider relocation, what of the job benefits I would accept. So salary, all the compensation things, made all those decisions ahead of time. And that really helped me not only stay focused on my main career goal, but also sift through the jobs really quickly. So I didn't end up applying to everything like a lot of people did, because they were just coming from a place of uncertainty and fear, right? Mm-hmm. We all have bills to pay, and we do need to be employed or find other ways to make money, like starting your own business. But if I hadn't done that, I would have ended up taking a role that I had interviewed for. And when the money conversation came up, it was a good $10,000 less than what I was making. Right.
It's a big
so
difference.
Because big difference. And because I made that decision ahead of time that I wasn't going to take that pay cut, I was able to say no to that job. Terrifying. Don't get me wrong, just because I decided on it, it was still like, did I really just turn down a job because it doesn't pay me what I want?
Yeah, I thought, wow, she's making it sound so easy.
Oh, no. It's calm now because everything turned out, but it was absolutely terrifying. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But I did have the conversation with the recruiter to say, okay, well, at this point in time, it's going to be a no. But if you happen to still be recruiting for this position or a similar position at this time, the time that I decided that I would take a pay cut, call me. So I was able to have that conversation on the fly because I had already decided when I would take that pay cut. So I gave them a timeline, but I did end up getting a raise and a promotion because I was so focused on targeting roles that were looking for the expertise that I brought to the table. And spending my energy on the resume, the interview process, on roles that would offer me what I was looking for, instead of just applying to everything, because I knew I'd just be exhausted, right? It's a lot of work to customize your resume for each role.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Go in there and talk about, yes, I was laid off and this is what happened, and no, I'm not bitter about it, and all those things, right? Over and over again.
Yeah.
So I think because I conserved my energy and was very strategic, very focused with my plan, I was able to show up to that interview and really wow them and get that raise, get that promotion.
Okay. This was absolute gold. Okay. So if you're listening, now's the time to like hit that backwards 30 seconds, like 10 times to kind of re-listen to that. That was so good. And it just kind of drills home the fact that when you are really clear on what you want and the different scenarios that can make that happen, then not only can you kind of win as someone leaning on the introvert side, but you also come across more focused. You also have the ability to have really strong conversations where you're not offered something and you're like, let me think about it. Right. One thing I always say is, you know, perception is 9/10 of the decision, and every word that comes out of your mouth and the tone and just everything kind of paints a picture. It adds to the perception. And so even if it's not specifically in the interview, those interactions make a difference. And ultimately the work that is done, and this is why I'm such an advocate of coaching, is because the work that is done to get clear on those things is it's not easy work to A, get clear on what you want, right? Then target the position, develop your messaging, your branding, all while internalizing it, right? So I always think if you're going to kind of hire out for a resume, you better really know that you know
what
that you
want.
Know. Yes, what you want. So the input into the resume is strong, but also like eat, sleep, breathe that messaging, because it should be a part of you. So when you go into the interview, it matches your messaging with all of the rest of your branding, right? But like you said, being crystal clear on that makes the entire message more powerful. And it also gives you peace. So it's like a win on every single front to have these pre-decisions, as you mentioned them. Yeah, this is great. This is great. What else? Are there any other thoughts that you have you want to share with us as we start to wrap up?
Yeah. I would say for all you introverts out there, trust that if you show up as your natural self, your introverted self, it is going to give you the advantage. I know it's hard to believe because of everything we're told about how we need to show up at work. But honestly, I think there is so much misconception about what introversion really is as well that people won't even really notice. Because I've talked to a lot of people who think that introversion is just shyness, which we know it isn't, right? I know a lot of extroverts who are shockingly shy and even have stage fright for an extrovert, right? So it introversion isn't about not wanting to talk to people. We're not just hermits, right? We just like deeper connections and people we find interesting. It's not about being fearful of speaking up or in front of people. It's how we do it. It's the space that we need to do it in, or the environment that is better for us. So when you're out there asking for what you need, whether it's a little bit more time to be comfortable in a decision or a one-on-one conversation to share your thoughts and ideas instead of doing it in front of a group 2 seconds after you were asked to put all your thoughts together. As long as you're doing it in a meaningful way, I think people will appreciate what you need and allow you to do that and show up.
That was such a great way to kind of bring everything together, especially because you mentioned that it's not shyness, it's not a fear of speaking. There is a difference between something that is psychologically stopping you from being your full self, which can happen to any personality style. And there's a you made a big distinction that I think is so important to kind of park it up for just a second here, is there's that, our insecurities, fears, worries, maybe we don't have enough practice. That can happen to anybody across the personality spectrum. I just love how you talked about the style. It's a style issue, and it's an issue of different strengths and being able to kind of give and take on both of those. I love how you broke that down.
Thank you.
Okay, so I definitely want some folks to get to know you a little bit. So I'm going to ask you just a few questions just to get to know you on a personal level.
Sure.
These are really hard, okay?
Okay, I'm
Okay.
ready.
Are you a dog person or a cat person?
Very difficult question for sure. I do love both, and my husband and I lost our cat of 19 years last year. She had a very, very good life, but we miss her dearly. And now we actually kind of want both cats and dogs, but I think I'm more of a cat person because my husband really, really wants a dog, and I had one growing up. They are so much love and so much fun, but they're a lot more work than cats.
Ah, yes, that is so true.
So I think from a practical side, I'm more of a cat person because they're just easier, they're more independent. I feel like they're more introverted maybe than dogs.
Fair. Absolutely fair. I love that. Okay. So, are you someone to eat out more often or to do home cooked more often?
Ooh. The way you asked that question is interesting because I don't cook. I'm not very good in the kitchen.
Ah, welcome to
There's
the
like,
team.
thank you. I love when there are other people out there who are like, I don't know my way around a knife.
I put sweaters in my oven, like that
Nice. So there's like certain dishes I can make, but I'd say I prefer to eat at home if I'm not the one cooking. Luckily, my husband is an excellent cook.
Very nice.
But I think if it were just up to me, I'd be ordering pizza and having that at home by myself.
That sounds great. You know what it reminds me of is when you get the Chinese boxes and you just like pulling pasta or something out of your noodles or something out of your, that's what it reminds me of. That and a good movie.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. Are you team Apple or team Android?
I used to be Team BlackBerry, obviously, and
Right.
then I was Team Android, but now I am fully fully team Apple. Their product has come a really long way. I think if you asked me when I was BlackBerry, it'd be like, no, I am living, breathing, and dying BlackBerry, but I do miss my keyboard.
Oh, yes. I remember those. You know, I remember Palm Pilot.
Yes.
Okay. I was
Yes.
the goof who, I've always liked gadgets and technology. So I was the goof that had the little tiny Palm Pilot and this like Bluetooth keyboard that folded up so you can go to meetings. And
I had one of those and it's so clicky.
Yes. That's why I loved it. That is awesome. Okay. We're definitely on the same team. I'm team Apple too. Love y'all Android folks. Let's have a debate one day. Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about sort of what you do, what you have to offer, where we can find you, and all the things.
Yeah, absolutely. So this year, my focus was really on one-on-one coaching. And for next year, what I wanted to do was reach a lot more introverts in helping them be more comfortable with being introverted as well as progress through their career. So I'm currently working on a brand new program for the new year so that everybody can get out of their terrible jobs, because I think there was a Gallup survey that said about 53% of you are miserable right now. So please stop being miserable. That's not a good place to be.
Yes.
So I've got a new program coming out in the new year. And I also have a masterclass for networking that's going to be launching in January, free masterclass. So Patricia, I'll make sure you've got those links for your listeners and they can find me there and on LinkedIn.
Awesome. So it sounds like you've got masterclass, LinkedIn, and then you're launching a program in January.
I don't so want to share too much.
But yes, let's not give it all away.
Not all of it, but it's super exciting. It teaches the exact same framework that I teach my one-on-one clients.
I love it. I love it. Well, it was an absolute pleasure talking with you today and just learning about kind of some of the ways that introverts can harness their power and just kind of show up in the career space to get their position. Thank you.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun for me too.
Awesome. Well, we're so glad that you also spent time with us. We hope that you come back next week for our next episode, and know that we love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you on the next one. Hey, thanks for listening. I really appreciate you spending time with me today. If you found this episode helpful, please tap the 5-star review on the show's homepage in your podcast app. It would absolutely make my day, and it helps others discover the Uncommon Career Podcast. Now, to download your free career resources and learn how I help seasoned professionals land amazing offers in as little as 90 days, click on the link in the description or go to theuncommoncareer.com. Thanks again, and I'll see you on the next one.